Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adigaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinatha Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavandam Ki Jai. Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Ki Jai. Shrimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Today being the auspicious anniversary of the appearance day of Srimati Radharani, who Srila Prabhupada states appeared 15 days after Sri Krishna, we'll be hearing the glories of Srimati Radharani, her qualities, her super excellent exchanges with Krishna, how only she can fully satisfy him, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's description of how we can come to the platform of understanding Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. Srimati Radharani, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavi Tabi Tabirya Eva Nijarupa Taya Kalabi, Srimati Radharani is the expansion of Sri Krishna's pleasure potency. And from her expands her bodily extensions, the Sakis, who assist her in her service to Sri Krishna. She is Madanakya Mahabhava Mayi. She is the very personification of the topmost supreme love that one can have for Sri Krishna. Though the expansions of Srimati Radharani, including the Lakshmis, the queens, and the damsels of Vrindavan, are all imbued with the Hladini Shakti of the Supreme Lord, only in the realm of Vrindavan is this supreme love of Mahabhava available within the devotees' hearts. The gopis, the sakis, just like streams and ponds and rivers, they have portions of that Mahabhava, but Srimati Radharani is the ocean of Mahabhava, that supreme love. There are different qualities that Rupa Goswami and the Acharyas describe that Srimati Radharani possesses in fullness. Six of them describe her form, her beautiful form, beginning with beauty. Now, the beauty of Srimati Radharani, Krishna enjoys, surprisingly, in the mood of Virdaras, because Srimati Radharani's beauty defeats all other types of beauty, destroys the concept of the beauty of the lotus, and conquers the mind of Krishna. So in that way, Krishna is completely defeated simply by the beauty of Srimati Radharani. Her youthfulness, she bathes three times in mercy, in youthfulness, and then in, what's the third? Compassion, yes. Her youthfulness is eternally in the Nava Yovana, in the mid-Kaishori age. And then her fickle glance, just by this glance of Srimati Radharani, Krishna is conquered. Her smile, her sweet smile, though Krishna tries to disturb her in many different ways, and she tries to keep from smiling, he sees in the middle of her lips still that smile existing. Then the lines on her hands and feet, according to different Puranas, she has 50 lines, some on her left hand, her left foot, her right foot. Some have, in the different Puranas, more than 50. So all of these lines of good fortune and auspiciousness are only existing on Radharani's hands and feet. Then after that comes her fragrance. So the gopis, they warn Radharani because her fragrance is so attractive that Krishna, just like a bee, wherever she is, he finds her out because she has such sublime fragrance of her body. So she can't hide from Krishna, just as a bee is always seeking for the fragrance of a flower. Then her speech, of Radharani's speech, she has three principal qualities. The first is the way she speaks to Krishna, the way she sings for Krishna. Her singing is so attractive that the gopis warn her, you better sing in a secluded place, because just like the deer, who's called Krishnasara, the deer, when he hears beautiful singing, is automatically attracted. So when Krishna hears your singing, he will come from wherever he is, and you'll be embarrassed because you'll be with others at that time. So only sing in a secluded place, and then Krishna will come to that place. Her voice is so beautiful that Krishna says, when she speaks, when she sings, the cuckoo becomes silent because she overpowers the beauty of the cuckoo singing. The nectar becomes useless because her voice is so sweet. And finally, she is called Narma Pandita. Narma Pandita means that she is very expert in joking with Krishna. She and Krishna, when they're together in their Sambhog Leela, they're joking one another, making fun of each other, that the flute has taught you to sing, or you have taught the flute to sing. And Krishna says, no, neither. These girls who are attracted to my flute playing, it's just because they're unchaste that they come to me. So they have so many jokes, and Radharani is expert at joking with Krishna. She has 10 mental qualities. She is very compassionate. She is very clever. She's very coy. Coy means bashful, but at the same time, very attractive. And her conduct is perfect. Maryada. She observes all of the rules and regulations of respect according to the scriptures, but at the same time, in order to please Krishna, she's ready to give up all dharma and all orders of her elders in the mood of Mahabhava and run to him. She's very grave. Grave and patient. Grave, patient, they could be the same. When one is patient, the example is given that Srimati Radharani sees that Kutila has trained a monkey to steal the necklace that Krishna has given to her, that Padma has come and disturbed the mind of Jatila by telling her that Radharani is meeting with Krishna, that Saibya, she has sent her pet goat, and that goat has eaten the jasmine plant that Radharani would take flowers to make garlands that Krishna was so fond of. Although she was agitated by all of these things, she didn't retaliate in envy or in revenge. But gambhirta, or gravity, Radharani's gravity is so deep that even when there's a cause for agitation, she does not express that publicly, although internally, everything is being churned. She's very humble. She's very patient. She's not only shy, but she's also very sly. And the last and the most important, the 19th, is that she has the topmost thirst for Krishna, which is that quality of Mahabhav that is only found in fullness in Srimati Radharani herself. Then she has six qualities that refer to her dealings with others. She is adored by all of the residents of Gokul. Everyone loves her. She is world famous, universally famous. Even Parvati, Satyabhama herself, all of the Lakshmijis, they want to imbue the qualities of Srimati Radharani so that they can please the Supreme Lord. The elders, she's very respectful to her elders, and at the same time, the elders love her qualities and give her all benedictions. She is very, she is completely controlled by her friends, and therefore, in order to approach Srimati Radharani, one must take shelter of Radharani's personal associates. And that is because she completely controls Krishna with her words. Krishna is so obliged to her that if Radharani, on the instigation of her friends, recommends a devotee to Sri Krishna, he will give his darshan to that devotee and he will give his mercy to that devotee. And at the same time, she is the crest jewel and the chief amongst all of Krishna's lovers. So these 25 qualities of Srimati Radharani, although her qualities are unlimited, just as Krishna's qualities are unlimited, the acharyas give these 25 principal qualities that make her distinct as Govinda Nandini, or one who gives pleasure to Krishna entirely, as Radha. Scholars, they object that you won't find the name of Radha anywhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But in the 30th chapter of the 10th canto, when Krishna left the arena of the Rasa Leela, because Krishna's purpose for calling the Rasa Leela was ultimately so that he could enjoy with Radharani. Prabhupada writes in a book that BBT will soon be publishing, Prabhupada writes that Radharani was the cornerstone of the construction of the Rasa Leela. And when Radharani, out of her anger, jealous anger, saw that she was not exclusively getting the attention of Krishna in the Rasa Leela, she left that place. And when Krishna left there, when Krishna saw that Radharani was no longer present in the Rasa Leela, he also left and went to search for her. Radharani was hiding in a bush with some creepers so that Krishna couldn't find her. And Krishna, in great despondency, he was longing to have Radharani's association again. Now, at that time, when the gopis realized that both one gopi, a special gopi in Radharani, that was Radharani, and Krishna had disappeared, they chanted this verse in which Radharani's name as being the topmost of all worshipers is found. Now, there's a wonderful description Prabhupada gives. When Prabhupada was living at the Radha Damodar temple, he said that this Radha Damodar temple is the hub of the spiritual universe. And with our spiritual eyes, nowadays if you go to the Sevakunj area, it's just a walled-in park. But if we remove all of the houses, all of the roads, all of the vehicles, all of the people, actually from the Jamuna, within a 1 square mile area, that is the whole area of Sevakunj, where Krishna, having left the Rasastali and all of the gopis there, he came and served Srimati Radharani in this Sevakunj. It's only to Srimati Radharani that Krishna does personal service, combing of her hair, putting lac on her feet, decorating her with different ornaments. And the Radha Damodar Temple is the center of that Seva Kunj, original Seva Kunj, that we can see with our spiritual eyes, the Chinmay Dham, where Krishna decorated and served in Seva Kunj Srimati Radharani. So this longing to have the pastimes with Srimati Radharani is the movement of the Astakaliya Leela that goes on 24 hours a day, broken into 8 different parts, 3 hours of each part. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his essential teachings of the Sikshastakam, he wrote 8 slokas. And Rupa Goswami, in his description of the development of pure love of Krishna, he gave 9 different levels. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, with his supreme intelligence, he combined these 3 different aspects, just like a braid coming together, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from Shraddha, the Chaito Darpana Majanam, the first sloka of Sikshastakam, going through to the second, when we understand our ineptitude of appreciating the potency of the holy name, then going on to how we should chant the holy name, then how we have to give up the anartha nivrittis. We don't want anything, because the chanting of the holy name and the execution of bhakti only yields one thing, and that's pure love or prema. Then, having understood what we have to give up, we come to trying to understand our eternal position as servants of Nanda Tanuja, and how, having fallen into this ocean of material qualities, we're praying to become uplifted and placed at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna in service. Then longing develops. There's nishta, we become steady. And then we develop ruchi. And then we develop finally asakti. And we pray, when will these qualities, when will these symptoms of love appear on my body? And then in the last 2 slokas, which describe bhava bhakti, and finally prema bhakti in the final sloka, we come to the stage of love. So these loving developments, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that all of this is ultimately found in Srimati Radharani, in the final sloka that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed. Now, where did that sloka come from? Gaurgovinda Maharaj, who is a very elevated Vaishnava, he came to Prabhupada at an advanced age, looking for a guru to take sannyas from. He found Prabhupada here in this temple, and Prabhupada accepted him as a disciple and sent him to Odisha. Prabhupada could understand that he had already studied the intricacies of bhakti, so he sent him to Odisha to preach in the Odia language and translate all of Prabhupada's books. So Gaurgovinda Maharaj explains a very intimate pastime, and that is, as usual, Srimati Radharani and her associates were preparing to meet Krishna, and they had decorated a kunj very beautifully for Krishna to come, and there was an appointed time when he was supposed to arrive. But that time had already passed. Radharani was sitting in the beautiful kunj, waiting impatiently, when was Krishna coming? What had stopped him from coming? She sent one of her dutis, and her dutis met Shaibya, one of Chandravali's assistants, and Shaibya very proudly informed this duti that Krishna is in the kunj of Chandravali. That's why he's not here. So when the duti came to inform Srimati Radharani, in her jealous anger, she forbade that Krishna is not allowed to come to the kunj if he comes here at all. and her most powerful sakis, Lalita and Vishakha, stood as doorkeepers to make sure that Krishna could not enter. When Krishna finally came in a very humble mood, he begged them, "Please allow me entrance." In their harshness, they said, "No, she will not allow you to enter. You get out of here." And Krishna, in great despair, he went to lament on the bank of the Jamuna River. A Purnamasi who understands all of the leela going on between Radha and Krishna, simply trying to assist them, she came and she had Vrindadevi give Krishna instructions how he would be able to enter that kunj. She said, "You have to give up completely this form of Sharmasundar. No more tribanga, no more curly hair, no more flute, no more yellow cloth. You have to take the form of a bhikkhari, a sannyasi bhikkhari. And you go to that kunj and you sing a beautiful song that you're simply praying. You're a prema bhikkhari. You're praying and only praying for love." So when Sri Krishna took that form of a sannyasi, just as Sri Krishna accepts the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in an instant, he didn't have to shave off his head. He's able to change his form instantly. He took that form as a sannyasi, and with a musical instrument, he came to the door, and he began singing a beautiful song that "I'm simply begging for the prem of Radha." And when Lalita and Vishakha heard this, they said, "Where did you learn this song?" "I learned it from my guru, Gandharvika." "Well, if you're actually a sannyasi, perhaps you can help our friend because she's in great distress. Do you know how to read the lines on hands?" "Oh yes, I know that art very well. You take me to your Swamini." So they arranged for Radharani, who was in great lamentation, to meet with this sannyasi. They set up two seats. And when Radharani came out with the veil on her face, because she never looked at any other men except for Krishna, the sannyasi said, "I cannot touch her hand because I'm a sannyasi. I cannot read her hand without touching it. Therefore, I'm going to read the lines on her forehead." And the gopi said, "But Radharani never allows anyone to see her face except for Krishna." And the sannyasi said, "You don't have to worry. I'm a dandi sannyasi. I'm not interested in women. I simply want to help your Swamini. So please remove her veil." So with that, they lifted the veil of Srimati Radharani and their eyes contacted. By the contact of their eyes, Krishna immediately assumed the form again of Sri Sarmasundar, and in that way they were again united with this trick. But because Vishakha had so vehemently asserted to Krishna that "You have made Srimati Radharani cry at a separation from you, therefore you will also only cry and cry and cry." So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking the mood of Rasaraj Mahabhav Murti, he took this mood of Mahabhav in the form of a sannyasi, trying to understand the sweetness that Srimati Radharani experienced when she saw Krishna and his qualities, and how she was able to receive his love and the happiness that she experienced when they exchanged their love together. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding the love that Srimati Radharani had for him, when Radharani, before she met the sannyasi, she spoke this verse beginning with Ashlishiva Padaratam Karot Pinastumam. So this verse was spoken originally by Srimati Radharani. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when giving us these eight successive levels of how we can perfect our chanting of Hare Krishna and how we can perfect our love for Krishna. He gave this last sloka that was spoken originally by Srimati Radharani that only Radharani can understand because she is the topmost of all of those who experience this Mahabhava. Now, Radharani's man, she's a leftist gopi. Amongst the millions of gopis, there's 16,000 that are prominent. Amongst the 16,000, there are 108 who are most prominent. Amongst those 108, there are 8 who are superlative. And amongst those 8, there are 2, Srimati Radharani and Chandravali. And amongst those 2, Radharani is supreme. Radharani has a leftist mood. She is jealous, angry. She rebukes Krishna. She jokes with him. Chandravali, on the other hand, she's very mild and gentle. Radharani, she's the only one who can say that Krishna is mine. None of us can say that. Krishna belongs to Srimati Radharani. Whereas on the other hand, Chandravali, in her gentleness, she exclaims, I belong to Krishna. So this is the difference of their moods. And this is the difference in their lila as well. Sometimes Krishna goes out of his way to make Radharani angry because he enjoys seeing her face when she becomes angry. That's why sometimes just in front of her, he will enjoy with other gopis. Now here in Vrindavan, we have the supreme opportunity of being able to wander to where particular pastime places have taken place. One of them is just down the national highway. It's a village now called Chata. It used to be called Chatravan. It's an upavan within Vrindavan. And there, in their childhood play, Krishna along with his sakas, Krishna, he sat on a throne as the king of Vrindavan. And all of his sakas wandered throughout Vrindavan proclaiming that Krishna, the son of Nanda, he is the king of Vrindavan. And anyone who dares to pick flowers in his kingdom, we will capture them and bring them to be punished before the king. These are childhood pastimes. So when the gopis heard this, they said, who has anointed him as the king? We have our Swamini. We have Radharani. They went to Radharani, and they told her what all the sakas were proclaiming. And they sat Radharani in a village called Umrao. Umrao means prince. They sat her down on a throne. They dressed her as a prince. And then Vrindadevi gave each of the thousands of gopis sticks with flowers. And they surrounded Krishna and all of his sakas at Chatravan, prepared to attack them and capture Krishna, the king. Now all the sakas ran in all directions. Even Krishna ran. But Marumangal, who was a little fatty, he was a Brahmin, he couldn't get away and they captured him. And they tied him up with flower garlands and they dragged him to Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. And as the prime minister of the king, he surrendered to her. And they said, now we will punish you. Because actually Srimati Radharani, she is the ruler. She is Vrindavaneshwari. How you can say that Krishna is the king of Vrindavan? So Maru Mangal, he said, whatever punishment you give me, you simply fill my belly with laddus. So Radharani said, this is a useless Brahmin boy. You just send him back to Krishna. With his hands still tied, he went running back to Krishna, who was hiding still. And he warned Krishna. Krishna was very depressed when he saw what the girls had done to Maru Mangal. He said, who has done this to you? I am so sad to see you in this condition. Marumanga warned him that I don't care what's happened to me, but I don't want this to happen to you. The best thing to do is you go. I will take you to where Radharani is, and you surrender now at her lotus feet so you don't get demoralized as I have been. So he took Sri Krishna. When Radharani saw Krishna approaching, she became very timid. She started to, she wanted to get rid of her princely attire, but the gopis wouldn't allow her. So Marumango brought Krishna to Radharani's lotus feet. He surrendered at her lotus feet. And then Marumangal and all the Sakis sat him down on the same throne. And they all worshipped them together. So this is just here at Chhatravan. Before you get to Chhatravan, there are two villages. On one side of the highway, you'll see a village called Nari. On the other side of the highway, you'll see a village that's now called Semuri. One time, Srimati Radharani was so angry with Krishna. Again, he didn't show up on time. Punctuality. She went to this village to sulk. And she told them again, her sakis, do not allow Krishna to come near me. I never want to see him again. She was so angry that nowadays that village is famous for the worship of Devi. Durga Puja time, they have a big festival there. Radharani showed full anger and would not allow Krishna to come near. So Krishna, naturally, he wanted to break her sulkiness. That's what he loves to do. So he took the form of a beautiful Sakhi, a Kinnara. The Sakhi's name was Shamasakhi. And coming from the village of Nari, this beautiful Kinnari, who's very expert at singing and playing musical instruments, came singing in ragas that none of the gopis had ever heard before, and came to the place where Srimati Radharani was. When Radharani heard this beautiful singing of this Shamari, she anointed her with her own necklace. And then Radharani said, what gift can I give you? And Shamasakhi said, the only gift I want is your anger. You please give it up. So then Radharani could understand who this Shamasakhi was. She gave up her anger, and she gave him her prema. So these pastime places are all over Braj. And the Goswamis, they would wander looking for Radha and Krishna, seeing the places of pastimes, because these pastime places had all over the period of 5,000 years disappeared. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this renaissance of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, he sent his principal disciples here to reestablish the deities that had been established 5,000 years earlier by Vajranava Maharaj, to reestablish the places of pastimes just as Raghunath Das Goswami had done at Radhakund, and in that way, again, reveal all of the glories of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Srimati Radharani, she's the queen of Vrindavan. After this incident, when at Umrao she was anointed the prince and Radha and Krishna sat together, through telepathic message, Lord Brahma informed Purnamasi that now you should anoint Srimati Radharani as the queen of Vrindavan, Vrindavan Eshwari. So at a very sacred place called Radhastali, a beautiful Abhishek ceremony took place. The Manasik Ganga water, all of the holy waters, all of the demigoddesses came to bathe Srimati Radharani. And she is Vrindavaneshwari, the supreme goddess of Vrindavan. Coming up is a very special month that we call Kartik. We also call that month Damodar. So Radharani, she was always looking away how to bind Krishna with her love. One time again, she was waiting in a kunj. Krishna was late. Now, sometimes when Radharani becomes angry, there's a cause for it. For instance, Krishna becoming late. And sometimes it's causeless. She's just angry by nature. This time, he was late. And when Krishna finally came to the Kunj, because she was angry with him, she decided she would bind him up with golden vines. She tied him up before he could even explain what had happened. And then after tying him, Krishna said, "Mother Yasoda, she forced me to take part in a festival. That's why I'm late." So Radharani, she felt very sorry that she had bound him up. But this binding, this is another form of Krishna in the form of Damodar, when she is bound by Srimati Radharani. Another time, as Radha and Krishna, they lived in Gokul and Ravel, very small children, 2-3 years old. They were playing together, and they were wandering in the forest of Bandiravan, holding hands, standing under a beautiful banyan tree. Then Lord Brahma came, and he decided that Radha and Krishna, at the very early stage of their lila, they should be married. So Radha and Krishna, they then assumed the form of their Nitya Kishora age. And all of the demigods, all the guests came to the marriage, and Lord Brahma himself performed the marriage and tied their 2 cloths, which is part of the marriage ceremony. So in that way, on 2 occasions, Radha and Krishna, they were bound up, both by their cloth and when Radharani bound up Krishna with the golden vines. So in this month of Damodar, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami, he recommends, he says that Krishna is very pleased when we have a deity of Srimati Radharani and we worship her for her pleasure during this month, because this is the month of Radha Damodar. And therefore, the whole month is dedicated to worshiping Radha and Krishna. This month coming up, we celebrate it very nicely here, Krishna Balaram Temple, beautiful singing and kirtan. And this is the time when we can meditate on the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna and all of the different holy places. And that is why during that time, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they wander throughout the 12 forests, searching out these beautiful places of pastimes that Radha and Krishna enacted their most intimate exchanges during this month of Kartik. As they're wandering, they visit all these places. So we are here now. We have 1 month more to go, 1.5 months. I hope you all can stay here for the month of Kartik. It's very austere. The austerity is that there's so many devotees here. We can hardly get into the temple at that time. But we can wander. We can go on the Braj Mandal Parikrama. We can see all these places of pastimes. We can read the books of the 6 Goswamis and read about these pastimes, see the places. And just as the 6 Goswamis, they never said, "I've seen Radharani, I've seen Krishna." They were always searching for them in the groves of Vrindavan. So in that mood of separation, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us to be the topmost, which he describes in the last verse of the Sikshastakam, that mood of separation, we can be searching out Radha and Krishna and remembering their beautiful pastimes, the beautiful qualities of Srimati Radharani, and the way Srimati Radharani is able to attract Krishna with all of her wonderful qualities. So now, my senior godbrother, I offer my obeisances at his lotus feet. He's an ocean of rasa, and I hope that he will enlighten us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.